Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have back with us Eddie James, who's the owner of Harvest Wealth Management, and we'll be talking about ensuring sufficient funds to last through retirement. Eddie, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to go ahead and spend some time with you again. Thank you so much again for this opportunity.
You're welcome. And I know that you've got some just really solid insights, and I just am excited to learn from you. And I think this topic is so important and timely because many times people put off the retirement conversation, but then when they start addressing it, it's like, oh, wait a minute here. I might not have sufficient funds. So let's start the conversation here with when you were working with a client, starting that conversation about making sure they have enough money to last through retirement. And guess what? I'm a really big wordsmith expert. I love that you said lasting through retirement, not to retirement, because getting to retirement, that's one thing, but lasting through retirement, that's a whole different story. So get us started with your perspective on this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. If people have a pen, the piece of paper, I always like to say, start off with the pen, the piece of paper. Let's go ahead and kind of on your sheet of paper, let's go ahead and have three areas. We're going to go ahead and call those areas, one, two, and three. Because our goal is we want to really first have some clarity and kind of limit the amount of surprise expenses through retirement, right? Yeah. That's a big item. So, but first off, how do we even determine some of these future expenses? I like to go ahead and say first, start off with what are your current essential expenses that you have now? I like to go ahead and call them the four walls.
Those four walls being basic housing, basic transportation, food, clothing, and healthcare. But I used to be a real estate guy, so you can't just have four walls. You got to have a strong foundation. So for me, that would be your emergency fund. For a lot of retirees, there's nothing like having that foundation of knowing that when life occurs, they have an emergency fund of 3 to 9 months of expenses in place. That are pretty liquid. I always like to go ahead and say what's going to go ahead and work best for people when it comes to anywhere between 3 to 9 months is just based off of how conservative you are. What's going to go ahead and make you feel able to rest at night. And then for every four walls and a floor, you got to have a roof as well. And roof. So for my believers that are listening in, that's going to be the tithe. And so we all know that in life, rains and those storms are going to occur. And we know that there's no better way to go ahead and prevent those storms from dilapidating our home than to have that roof. And of course, that would be the tithe. So those are going to be the essentials, the four walls, your floor and your roof. Then in addition to, because we're still in the first step with the expenses is your essential lifestyle. So what are those non-negotiables? What are those spending fun things that are unique to you and that are going to be essential for your lifestyle satisfaction in retirement? I like to go ahead and say that in addition to, you want to go ahead and start to think about what are some of your nice to haves. And write those down as well. Areas where you would like to have them, but again, you have some flexibility. The key word here is flexibility.
An interesting thing there, Eddie, is I love that you're talking about those two points. And another thing that I would submit and see what you think about this, a lot of pre-retirees would make that list and go, okay, here it is. And you might come back to them and say, okay, but hold on a second here. You're thinking of this list in relation to you're working 40 hours a week and this is your list of expenses. But now when you're retired and you've got all the time in the world, you've got more money, time to spend money. You've got more time to travel or do those things you wanted to do. So maybe some of those expenses are going to be more than what you think right now because you're looking at it from your current time constraints of working a job.
Yes, you bring up something that we like to go ahead and call there, Mike, the three stages of retirement, to where there's the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years, to where
I like that.
The first 10 to 15 years of retirement for most of my clients, I like to say that's their go-go years. They're traveling. They're spending time with the grandkids, and they're going to, they're living out of the RV, and they're loving it. Right. That's what I like. That's what I usually see. That's the go-go years. And then there is always a transition where it's kind of slow go, where do they still go to some of those events and still do some of that traveling? Yeah. But they usually spend more time weighing the pros and cons, whether they should or not. Right. And whether that has to do with just with health. Whether that just has to do with, kind of been there, done that, who's kind of going to be there? That's what I kind of hear from them. And then finally is the no-go years. That's where, where I'm spending time visiting them in some of the assisted living facilities, spending time with their family members, as we still continue to ensure that quality of life is still the level of satisfaction, where they're at now. So,
that's huge. And I think a lot of times when people don't go through that depth of planning of, you bring up a good point there, Eddie. I think if I traveled three times a year, that'd be wonderful versus, here's what I'm spending right now. That slow go, no go, and go go. I love that analogy, and that makes total sense. So I think the very best place to start is expenses. Well, now if you know this is your expenses, let's back up and go, how much do I have to work with money-wise and how about my income stream? So how do you close that gap of where you are now and where you are projecting that you'll be based on those expenses?
Right. So the key with the expenses is, I usually like to go ahead and speak about this a little bit later on, but it's a word that if I mentioned it here on the podcast back in 2019, people probably, not a lot of people would know what I'm speaking about, but now everyone does. And that key word is inflation. Inflation. I like to go ahead and say that, back in 1993, when my wife graduated from high school, a postage stamp was like 29 cents. Now here in 2023, that same postage stamp is 66 cents.
Yeah.
Now think about that. Does it have any additional value? No. It still
gets the same letter from your house to grandma's house.
Exactly. Yeah. But look what the cost has done in 30 years. It's more than doubled. So when you're starting to go ahead and figure out what expense numbers do I need to calculate for retirement, especially keeping in mind that based on the actuarial figures that insurance companies are using, that us Americans, we're living longer lives, not shorter, but longer. So now you have to go ahead and calculate that your retirement more than likely, you're going to be retired for at least 30 years.
Yeah.
So whatever amount that you have income-wise in retirement, that amount needs to what? Double by the time you're out of retirement.
Given that same stamp example, if that holds true, then you're going to have a whole lot more need. And, you know, how can we be assured that that's going to probably hold true? Just look at the deficit number. It goes up every second. And the only way to cap it, that deficit is to cap spending, which we won't see the government do, or to raise taxes. And we know that's going to happen. So inflation is going to keep rearing its ugly head over the years.
And inflation is a necessary evil. It really is. Now, if you looked at just historically what inflation has done from 1993 to 2023, you'll see that inflation historically has been anywhere between 2 to 2.5%. Now, because of what we have seen due to the pandemic and due to some of the other additional crises in our country that we've just never experienced before, analysts that are a lot smarter than me when it comes to forecasting, they're forecasting that inflation is going to be closer to 3% on an annualized basis.
You know, whether, you know, I don't think that anyone can expect a financial professional like yourself to hit the bullseye on what's the inflation rate, what is taxes going to do, what are all these things. But we know that the broad indicators are pointing in the directions like what you're saying. So if we are looking at having sufficient funds to last through retirement, and we know you might need 25, 30 years of time to have that happen, and here's my expenses, I just went through that exercise. What do you do to help your clients determine income streams to make sure that that's going to get handled the right way?
Excellent point. Excellent question. When it comes to income streams, we like to go ahead and think of two buckets, your guaranteed income bucket and your non-guaranteed income bucket. So your guaranteed income bucket, like Social Security, pensions and annuities. With Social Security, I know that for many of us, probably who are listening to podcasts, you probably remember when the Social Security Administration would annually send you in the mail what your Social Security benefit would be later on when you retire, right? Mm-hmm. Well, notice that they haven't sent those out, Mike, for quite some time. Why? You know, they used it. They used the reason that it's the cost. No, it's not the cost.
It's that stamp. That stamp price has gone up.
Never been about not doing something because of the cost, right? Yep. You know, it's because, you know, recognizing one of the items is that for many of us where retirement is a decade or two away, they'll notice that on that benefit page, there'll be an asterisk in the corner. And I'm a big believer that anytime when the federal government hands you a document and there is an asterisk, you better pay attention to what that asterisk means.
Yep.
Knowing that if you end up reading about what the asterisk states, it states that, hey, you know, based off of our current calculations, there's a good chance that you're not going to receive this full benefit. And you'll probably end up receiving maybe 75 to 80% of the benefit amount unless we make some major changes, just like you alluded to earlier, whether they be they increase the benefit age, they increase taxes, but something's got to change if people are expecting to receive their entire benefit. But again, that first bucket
with
is
change,
your guaranteed income bucket.
So, yep. Yeah. Guaranteed, that's huge. And I was just going to mention with change, it's like pushing down on a seesaw or pushing one of those inflatable balls under a pool, water in a pool. It's going to come flopping right back up. So when there's change, it looks good on one hand, but then where did the repercussions happen? So somehow, some way, there's going to be, you know, hey, we lower taxes. Well, if we lower taxes, something else happened on the other end. Oh, we raise taxes, something else happened. So having that guarantee locks in that kind of peace of mind feeling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And especially when you're finding yourself in a situation where you're not bringing in any additional earned income, if that is your choice in retirement, then we have to go ahead and really have some true discernment about not only what are we receiving currently, but how do we have some assurances for what you're going to be receiving in the future?
Yeah. So once you kind of look at and address and dial in the guaranteed income aspect, what's the next consideration?
So yes, the next consideration is going to be your non-guaranteed income. So your investments and your savings. And how do we go ahead and increase those returns while still mitigating the risk? Because if we just if we rely on just the guaranteed income, then that means that income isn't going to change that drastically over the next 30 years of retirement. Mm-hmm. And if we rely just on the non-guaranteed income, now we're putting ourselves into too much risk and opening ourselves up to not having a consistent income in retirement. Yeah.
Because of volatility.
Exactly.
Yeah. And those are things out of your control.
It's all about their mind being tax efficient, risk efficient, and market efficient.
Yeah, there's so many moving pieces in that. And, you know, in this kind of a, you know, thought process, it seems like, oh, income, expenses, what else is there? Well, there's a lot of things that can punch holes in the bucket, like we've talked about inflation or expenses or taxes. What are some of the other things that you advise your clients on?
I would have to go ahead and say that once you're able to determine whether you have a deficit or a surplus, mm-hmm. what are you now, you know, what is your next step? So if you have a deficit, does that mean that we're walking through some different options as far as delaying retirement, looking at a second career, going back to school, maybe doing some consultant work through either your current profession or picking up a new profession? Mm-hmm. You know, so again, having those conversations, you know, with someone who's going to be able to go ahead and not only be a friend, but also be a fiduciary.
And having that conversation well ahead of retirement so that if that what sounds like a drastic step, like, ooh, let me delay this or get more education or do a little side hustle, that you've got time to put that in place and not feel like you're behind the eight ball.
Exactly. Exactly. Because once you end up having some clarity about what that process looks like, now we're able to go ahead and have some continued sleepful nights.
Yep. Because right. You have a plan.
Exactly. Exactly. And you have a plan. That has shown itself has a high degree of that you're going to actually reach that plan.
Yep. And so what happens if you run these numbers and it's like, we got some nice margin here. We got some buffer. You know, what if there is a surplus? What then is the consideration to do there?
I'm big when it comes to generosity there, Mike. So yeah. then comes just a different conversation with your fiduciary of I wasn't given this surplus just to build bigger silos and bigger storehouses. You know, so you know, what are some of the organizations that have assisted me along the way, or I believe in what they're doing, whether that be my university or some different nonprofits or my place of worship. You know, mm-hmm. and so where you align with their mission and vision. So then comes some of the decisions, you know, do we look to give a gift now where we get a chance to actually maybe even participate with the gift in action? Oh, my goodness. Right.
And see the fruit of that gift. Right? Yeah, right, right.
You mean I get a chance to actually, you know, be a part of the hands and feet and experience the gift in action and receive a tax break? Oh my goodness, only in America, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or again, maybe that's a standpoint so where you decide to go ahead and give that gift in your estate. So, you know, but again, it's a standpoint of, you know, that surplus that you've been provided.
Being a wise steward of that surplus.
Look like? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could look, and guess what? It's different for every single person because everyone has different needs, family situations, goals, aspirations, all of that. But those are some great key points. Like if there's a surplus, how much is enough? Do you really need 9 trips a year, vacations a year, or would 7 be fine? And if you have that surplus, what can you do with it? And maybe it's a little bit of both. You're going to give a little bit now and a little bit in the estate planning and legacy and passing to heirs. All of those things need to be taken into consideration. And I think this conversation has been so enlightening to think, okay, it sounds like this gray area, but when you break it down, like income and expenses and considerations, and boy, guide me and, you know, show me the way, but I think I could see the path forward. I think that's really exciting, Eddie.
I appreciate you for bringing it up, Mike, especially from the standpoints of the beauty that, you know, in 2023, you may have gone on 9 vacations, but the beauty that as we continue to be in relationship, that, hey, you know what, in 2024, 2025, you know, we're having, you know, we're looking to make some different decisions with that surplus. How do we go ahead? How do we go about doing that? And we're making those decisions in 2023 for the future, right? Or, you know, whether that be that we're just dropping down to 7 vacations, or whether it's that we want to go ahead and leave some type of legacy to the children, the grandchildren, or some other organization where, again, we align with their mission vision.
I love it. Well, Eddie, it's just been such a real pleasure chatting with you again here on kind of making sure that your funds last to and through retirement. So if someone is interested in learning more and reaching out and connecting with you, what's the best way they could do that?
Sure, they can go ahead and reach us on our website. That's at www.harvestwealthplan.com. Or they can just shoot me an email. I'm at Eddie, that's E-D-D-I-E. At harvestwealthplan.com. Eddie at harvestwealthplan.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming back on, my friend. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thanks again, Mike. Thank you so much again for this opportunity to allow me just to go ahead and just share ways for people to truly find some peace and just kind of get rid of some of those sleepless nights that I know some of my pre-retirees have had before we end up shaking hands for the first time. So, yeah.
You know it. You're so welcome. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.